know, 5 years ago, when the Stop the War Coalition was first founded, it set itself 3 aims. One, to stop the war. Two, to defend civil liberties. And three, to stop the racist backlash. Because we knew then that all these three things were linked. Sadly, we couldn't stop the war from starting. But George Bush, in his own words, has just received a thumping because of Iraq. Donald Rumsfeld has just had his own dose of shock and awe by being unceremoniously thumped. And Tony Blair is well and truly on his last legs. And this is testament to, firstly, the resistance on the ground by people in the Middle East, but also to the mobilisation of public opinion in the West by the anti-war movement. And I'm very, very proud that we're all here today, still 5 years old. On civil liberties, the second, we haven't managed yet to shut down Guantanamo Bay and Belmarsh. But Mazen Bey is home now, and we did stop the government from introducing the 90-day detention. Of course, we have to continue to be vigilant because Gordon Brown is trying to sneak in 28-day detention, and we just heard about Education Minister Bill Rummel trying to get teachers to spy on students. But one aspect of the war on terror that no one in this country has been able to escape is the racist propaganda underpinning this so-called war on terror. And it has caused real divisions and confusion. Large numbers of people do know that the whole debate about Muslim integration is just a smokescreen, a weapon of mass destruction, to divert attention away from this government's failure over the war on terror. But we shouldn't underestimate the impact of the sustained demonisation that has taken place in our society. Under the guise of debating religious intolerance, politicians who espouse race hatred have been given a new lease of life. Under the guise of community cohesion, these words, Orwellian in nature, actually are attacking the very model of multiculturalism that we have in this country. And nobody has benefited more from all of this than the far right, the British National Party. Following Nick Griffith being filmed talking about, and I quote, Muslim thugs and perverts, young Paki street thugs, and Britain being mongrelised out of existence, his legal team argued that such statements should be seen as criticisms of Islam and not aimed at the broader Asian community. Furthermore, they claimed that such views were now part of legitimate public debate, citing, guess who? Jack Straw and his recent comments, as well as those of other senior politicians. That's why it's not surprising that the BBC now has people like Nick Griffith on programmes like The Moral Maze. And that's why it's important to have a clear strategy to combat this new wave of racism. And I would suggest that we have three main battlefronts to fight. The first is that of anti-imperialism. We need to embed an even greater anti-imperialist consciousness in British society. We've got a good foundation because of the work of the anti-war movement today. Even most school kids will tell you that the war in the Middle East is about oil, not about democracy. They can make the link between an increase in a terrorist threat to our country here because of our intervention abroad. But let's watch the new line that the government is trotting out, that there is no link between foreign policy and the growth of Islamic extremism, because such extremism existed before the 9/11 attacks. We want the public to know instinctively that this is nonsense. The threat of Islamic extremism existed pre-9/11 because brutal Western intervention in the Muslim world existed pre-9/11 too. And the anti-war movement is the only force in this country which makes this connection and consciously goes out to deepen public understanding of these issues. These things are kept silent establishment media. So the public meetings, the film shows, the debates that the Stockwell Coalition organises, these are all crucial in this battle for ideas. And the greater the understanding of our foreign policy abroad, the more fertile the terrain at home upon which opposition to Islamophobia and racism can grow. So that's one plank. The second front, I believe, is that of stopping the attacks on multiculturalism. This involves working with people perhaps outside of the anti-war movement who may not share our views on imperialism but do feel uncomfortable about what's happening in terms of Islamophobia and the rise of racism. And that's why I would encourage as many people as possible here to also attend the meeting in Westminster Hall on Monday night to launch a campaign in defence of the freedom of religion, conscience and thought. There were people on that platform that perhaps might not come on our Stop the War Coalition platforms, like the Vice Chair of the Tory Party. But we want to win the largest cross-section of society to the argument that whilst it's Muslims bearing the brunt of religious intolerance today, it will be other minority groups tomorrow. Therefore, the defence of Muslim communities, of their right to express their religious beliefs, forms of dress, freedom of expression, is also a defence of all faith communities and minorities to express themselves. With racism on the increase, one traditional ally that you would have expected to draw help from would have been the Commission for Racial Equality. The CRE actually had its origins in past anti-racist struggles. Wasn't that long ago that we had the media onslaught on the black muggers? Remember all of that? The attempt to criminalise the whole of the black community. And one of the consequences was an increase in police attacks on black communities and to the deaths of black people in police custody. Another was a boiling up of pressure, and this turned into violence in our streets in the 1980s and 1990s. We remember Stephen Lawrence and the long struggle of his family to force the system to recognise the reality of racism in our institutions. All of these took decades of struggle. My dad still tells me how when he came to this country, the placards in the houses were no Pakis, no dogs, no blacks, no Irish. And I'm glad that we live in a country now that doesn't think that is acceptable. And it's not been an easy fight. But just as racism is spreading like a plague, whatever constructive role the CRE played in the past, it now actually acts more like part of the problem than the solution. The interventions of Trevor Phillips post 9/11 have been notable only for his ability to compound the difficulties of the Muslim community while attaining brazen self-publicity off our backs. When Phillips repeats the lie of Muslim self-segregating communities, it makes it easier for John Reid to talk about Muslim no-go areas and David Cameron to talk about smashing Muslim ghettos. When Phillips says that multiculturalism should be killed off, he allows every right-wing tabloid hack to claim that the problem we have in Britain is too many alien values. And just the laughable edition today of the Daily Express talking about halal chicken instead of turkey. This is the level of debate that we have today. And the debate on multiculturalism needs to be regained within the anti-racist movement and beyond. The CRE is in its death throes. We need an alternative that will refocus anti-racist work that defends multiculturalism, tackles Islamophobia, and restarts a debate about the reality of institutional racism. And to that end, the initiative by the 1990 Trust to call a race and faith summit on November the 27th as part of an ongoing organising alternative to the CRE is welcome and timely and should be supported by all of us. And finally, we need to talk about class, the third front. We are not alone about this. The unity that we need, including between Muslims and other minority communities, is not easily achieved. There are tensions and conflicts, and poverty and economic disadvantage are all too easily manipulated to create a condition where communities end up fighting each other over badly needed resources. I've come from Birmingham, and we've seen that in areas like Lascelles, and also in the white, working class, poorer areas, where the far right are gaining because of the resentment that has been stoked up. So we do have to respond to this challenge, because the mainstream politicians have abandoned that terrain. And it's very important that the MCB, the Muslim Council of Britain, actually issued a joint statement with the TUC, where both organisations are committing themselves to promoting justice and equality in the workplace and in wider society, and in which the MCB pledged to raise awareness about the value of union membership in bringing people together in a common struggle. This is an important part of our response to this new wave of racism. We do not demand that road resources are taken from one community and just given to another. If we engage in petty competition, we all suffer. We must search for the common interest and join together to tackle economic disadvantage and injustice for everyone. And those of us who are here today, who are part of this great anti-war movement, have a vital role to play in all of these three fronts. If we want to see what real integration is, just look in this room. People of different faiths, different colours, different backgrounds, all united in democratic protest. There's no clash of civilizations or values here. We are united. Our hearts are alert to our humanity. And the prize that we have been hearing about is not only peace abroad, not only security for us here, but a preservation, a maintenance, a growth of that precious space of multiculturalism, diversity and democracy that we have right here. Thank you.